There's a passage in the Bible that has been called the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament. This passage is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. We simply call it the Aaronic Blessing. And we as a congregation, we read it every Sabbath at the close of our services. And so we are familiar with this. We've read this and we know the words. But we're going to talk about it and we're going to see some different things about this particular blessing today. For many multiple generations, many Jewish people have continued to appreciate and to use the Aaronic blessing that was first given, obviously, to all 12 tribes of Israel. Many traditions have become attached to it through the years. One interesting thing that is passed through the generations is the saying that if the priest, called a Kohen by the Jews, if the priest does not love the people, or if this priest is one that is not loved by the people, then this priest should not be giving the Aaronic blessing upon the people. When you really think about this, it actually makes a lot of sense when we understand that the Aaronic blessing is a blessing of God's love for his people. I mean, that's what it is. And so if this priest is someone who is one doesn't love the people or is not loved by the people, then he probably shouldn't be doing it. Go with me to Numbers chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. Now, we read this, like I said, at the end of every Sabbath. We're reading it like it's verses in the Bible today at this particular point. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Now that's actually what it says. What we notice here is, if you would, that the blessing of the Lord is a blessing of the Lord. It comes from God. And that's the point. It comes from God. Aaron and his sons, who were then to in turn bless the children of Israel. And since Aaron and his sons were the priesthood for Israel, this blessing is also, in many different occasions, in many different places, referred to as the priestly blessing. The Aaronic blessing, or the priestly blessing, whichever one you would prefer using, is one of the oldest parts of Scripture that has remained in continuous use in worship services. A little bit of information. In 1979, yes, 1979, archaeologists searching ancient tombs in the Middle East came across the words of the Aaronic blessing etched upon silver scrolls. And it's something that had been handed down. It's something that had been used down through history. These were dated back to the 7th century before the Common Era. That's a long time. While the temple stood in Jerusalem, priests recited this blessing every day. Today, some Jewish congregations recite this blessing every morning, while then in other Jewish congregations, it is recited only on the Sabbath. When the Jewish people were widely scattered in what has been called the diaspora, there were many congregations or synagogues that recited this blessing only on the holy days. Historically, this blessing has continued through the centuries to be pronounced by Jewish rabbis toward their congregations. This blessing is part of many formal worship services. It is included in many different types of formal worship services. So it is repeated exactly word for word over and over and over. today, this priestly blessing typically carries a bit of baggage that we cannot find as part of the Bible. We have the words, but they have over the centuries added things to it, such as the rabbis have been taught that as they are reciting this blessing over the people, that they are to raise their hands just so, and they are taught how to raise their hands, and they should do it in this manner. Not only that, they also go forward and they say that they also, as they are reading it, as they are pronouncing this blessing upon the people, they are to separate their fingers. And I'm not a Star Trek-y kind of guy, and so I never learned how to do the Mr. Spock thing, but that's exactly what it is. They are to raise their hands in a certain way. They are to separate their fingers in a certain way. It's not biblical. I don't understand it. I'm certainly not one that is going to do it until God shows us that this is exactly how he wants it to be done. But there's no recording of it being done that way within the scriptures. But this is the way it is done in many Jewish congregations, and it has been down through history, still even to today. By taking the priestly blessing apart, we can learn many different things about how to bless. How to bless. In this passage, we can learn also some things about God that are just as true today as they were when God first created this special blessing. Because please remember, throughout, this was first spoken by God and was given to the priest to do it toward the congregation. And so there are many things that we can learn. There's many things that we can learn about blessing or how to bless, but we also are going to learn many things about God himself. While it is obvious we do not live under the old covenant, which includes the Aaronic priesthood, we do have a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ, who greatly desires to bless his people today. Perhaps when you really think about it, even more today than when God first gave the blessing to the Aaronic priesthood to pass it on to the people. I mean, when you think about what Jesus Christ has accomplished down through history and to this day, maybe even more so today, maybe even more so today does he desire to bless us. Today, let us look closely at this blessing. And having stated this before, I state it again. There are many lessons that we can learn. Let's notice, especially as we begin, the word bless. I'm going to go down and take a look at various phrases within this Aaronic blessing or the priestly blessing. And it starts off with, "The Lord bless you and keep you." So let's take a look at this phrase. The word bless from the Hebrew means to confer well-being or prosperity. The promise of some blessings were conditional upon the children of Israel, as we can find in the book of Deuteronomy. So let's go to the book of Deuteronomy and let's see some of this. In Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, many of you are going to be familiar with this, but that's okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and let's read verses 1 through 6. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1, "And it came to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." In other words, there are going to be so many just piled up on you. "If you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." It's conditional. God saying, I am going to pour out all these blessings upon you. You do this, then I'm going to pour out all of these blessings upon you. But, having said that, much of what God wants to give to His people, He makes into an unconditional blessing. He wants it to be unconditional. I mean, we can take a look and just look in our lives today, and we can see that there are unconditional blessings that God has given to us. We don't go hungry. Food. God brings forth food out of the earth. He feeds the people of the world. That's a blessing. Did we deserve that? Did we earn that? Is there any condition upon it? It's the generosity and the wisdom and the graciousness of God that He feeds the people of the earth. How about breath? How about just life? Do we have to obey God to be able to have the blessing of breath? No. How about sunlight? How about sunshine? How about just name? Just look around and you see all the incredible things that we have. They're unconditional. God, in His greatness, blesses His people. And in this context, I'm referring to His people as being the people of the earth, made in the image and the likeness of God. He did this in a specific way for Abraham. Once God had tried and tested Abraham, God's blessing on Abraham and on all of Abraham's children by promise was unconditional. Let's go back to our phrase. The word keep. The word keep means to provide and care. Or another phrase of that could be to guard and protect. Now that should bring some things into your mind just by knowing what the word means whenever we said and keep. Because we remember back in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve to dress and to keep the garden. It's the same thinking, the same philosophy, the same way of life, the same doing that He was talking to them. It meant to take the best care of. Whatever's the best way that this can be cared for. That's what He's talking about. And the Lord bless and keep you. That's what He's referring to. He is going to give to His people. He is going to take the best of care over His people. That's what the Aaronic blessing is asking over the people. And the words came from God to state this to His people. There's one particular psalm which speaks of God's care in a particular way. I'd like for you to turn with me and read this. It's over in Psalms 121. Psalm 121, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be removed. He that keeps you shall not slumber. He that keeps you. It's the same word. Take the best of care. He will keep you. He will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord bless and keep you. And that's what this psalm is saying. He is the keeper. He's the one who keeps us. This blessing reminds us, it at least should remind us, of a good shepherd carefully watching over and guarding and providing for his sheep. He cares for them. He keeps them. Let's go on the second phrase that we want to look at. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. To make his face shine is a Hebrew idiom. What it does is it indicates God is smiling on his people. The Lord make his face shine upon you. It means he is smiling upon his people. It's a Hebrew idiom. God finds joy in watching over his people. And God finds joy in being gracious toward his people. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The words make his face shine show up in other passages as well of scriptures. I want to show you three different places that this actually occurs, and we're going to read those. Go with me to Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and verse 16. This is a psalm of David where he is asking this. Psalm 31 and verse 16. Make your face to shine upon your servant. He says, God, smile on me. Smile on me. Save me for your mercy's sake. A second place is in Psalm 80 and verse 3. Psalm 80 and verse 3. Turn us again, O God, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. If God is smiling upon us, what he's implying, God, if you're smiling upon us, we will be saved. It's that kind of a sense. It's that kind of a feeling, what is being brought here. And the third place I want to show you where this phrase is used, this idiom is used, is in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, in verse 17. Daniel 9 and verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Here, Daniel is asking God to shine upon his sanctuary. He said, it's desolate. He said, I mean, you can conjure up all kinds of emotions and thoughts of what he's asking for. And so we see that this Hebrew idiom, it's a phrase that is used to represent something of an affection. Shine your face upon us. In other words, to smile upon us. Smile upon us. And then the phrase going on, to be gracious. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. It means to bestow favor. To bestow favor or to give us favor. Favor us. I think we understand this, but I want to state it and put it in this context. Grace is not needed when someone has earned a reward. Grace is essential when that which is given is undeserved. To be gracious, to bestow favor. Grace is needed when that which is given is undeserved. Do we deserve in that sense just by being human? The answer is no. God gives it. I think it's also interesting in the context of the phrase is that God is gracious to us, giving us something, and the something here is blessings. Remember, these are blessings. That's in the context of smile upon us and be gracious to us. And again, that phrase, it came from God. It came from God given to Moses to repeat it to Aaron and his sons as the priesthood, who would then put that blessing upon the people. Okay, let's go on to the next phrase. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. To lift up His countenance may be similar to smile also. I mean, that's what the various commentaries, I'll put it this way, Jewish commentaries and Gentile commentaries, in the way that, you know, people, you know, the Jews look at it. But this is a common rendering of it. There are some biblical scholars suggest that it infers pleasure and affection, and it infers approval and recognition. So the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. One of the main ways the biblical scholars that I would typically think about is really trusting in this sense, their scholarship, suggests that it infers. They're not saying that this is, but it infers this. It infers giving pleasure and affection and approval and recognition. And God certainly does that to His people. The word "and give you peace," the word peace, of course, comes from the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom is not just the absence of war. The Hebrew word peace, shalom, indicates a wholeness, a completeness, a wholeness that is full and is positive. That is full and is positive. I mean, it's not necessarily what we tend to think about. The Hebrew word shalom is not necessarily what we tend to think about. You ask, go out on the street and ask somebody and say, what is the opposite of peace? And they would say, war. And it's not necessarily, that is not in itself what the Hebrew word is inferring. Of course there is no war. Of course there is, but that's not necessarily, it would mean to be empty. In other words, it would be empty and negative. It's not having. It's not being whole. It's not being complete. The Hebrew word means wholeness. It means being full, and it means positive. And there are all these things that you could check off. Well, there would be no war, there wouldn't be famine, there wouldn't be, you follow what I'm saying. We'd be filled up, and we'd be filled up with God. Because what we see is God desires peace for His people. He desires that we have wholeness. Not just not war, but wholeness. He wants His people to have peace in myriad ways. Many different ways. Many different ways. He wants, for example, internal peace. He wants national peace. And He wants peace with God. That His people will have a wholeness with God. He wants all of these things. Shalom indicates a state of being where countless other blessings can be enjoyed. If we don't have shalom with God, wholeness with God, can we really have and receive other blessings? Not be full of them. We cannot receive all of them. If there's not peace with God, because that means wholeness. And if there's not wholeness, then we can't receive all the blessings from God. It's real simple when we look at it. When we understand this phrase, God's peace is a perfect peace. God's peace is a perfect peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. You shall keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. That's the person who has perfect peace, whose mind stayed on God and God's way of life. The next phrase in the priestly blessing, "The Lord bless you and keep you." God is the great giver. He is the originator of blessing. And God desires to bless us today. The first coming of Jesus Christ, God's anointed one, proves how intently God desires to bless us today. The first coming of Jesus Christ also proves just how much worth God places on having us live with Him throughout eternity. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ." The passage of Scripture that we refer to as the famous Sermon on the Mount, it shows more of God's blessings for His people also. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Don't you already see some of these other things we've already seen coming into play here? Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And God desires, greatly desires, to provide and care for us as described by Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Going on in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, we begin. Verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, which you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" And the answer is, of course we are. We're made in the image and the likeness of God. Verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Just a flower out in the field. "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether at all shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, here he's meaning those who are not followers of God. Just non-believers do those things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And there's absolutely no doubt at all that we understand and should come to really appreciate the fact that God has made beautiful promises to us today. He desires that we have all the things that we need for life and godliness. All. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's look at another phrase back in the priestly blessing. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Let's see how that applies to us. Just as all spiritual blessings come through Jesus Christ, so God's grace is now manifest, is now made known through Jesus Christ, His Son. John 1, verse 17. John 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth come by or through Jesus Christ. So I think all of us can see that God does desire to show His smile of favor upon us. He wants to do that. A question that we can ask is, do we have a part in receiving God's blessings? Or do we have a part in receiving His unmerited grace and favor? Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He said, I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation that I succored you, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, the service be not blamed. He is talking about, He is showing us that we do have a part in receiving the blessings from God. We do have a part in receiving the unmerited grace and favor from God. We are His children. The part is, He has called us, He has given us this through Jesus Christ. Let's see the next part in this Aaronic blessing. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Brethren, through Jesus Christ, peace with God is now possible. We can have godly peace. We can have this because God is smiling upon us as His people, as His church. He is giving us favor as His people. John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14 and verse 27. John 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus Christ, speaking to the disciples before the day of Pentecost, before He ascends into heaven, and He tells them, He says, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. This is where He's telling them this in John 14. And then He says, I'm going to leave you my peace. Not the world's peace, because it's not the same. It's not the same. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Jesus Christ told us, told the church, that He was doing that. Go to Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace through Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. So we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Also, brethren, another thing to see and to understand in this context is as we continue to pray, God bestows peace through His Son. Let me show you that. It's in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing or be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Humanly, we cannot even comprehend this peace of God, this peace that Jesus Christ says, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send another comforter, and I'm going to leave you peace. Not the world's peace, my peace. And here, Paul is telling us, we can't even as humans comprehend that. But it's with God's Holy Spirit, we begin to see what that entails. Today, the high priest is Jesus Christ. Blessings are available today for those who are in Christ. Those who are in Christ Jesus and who rely upon Him for God's blessings. Please understand, if somebody is not in Christ, they cannot receive the blessings or will not receive the blessings from God. That's what this is saying. They're not, if they're not in Christ, they're not receiving the blessings. I'm not talking about the unconditional blessings. I'm talking about, you know, they receive air, they get food, they get water, they get what is necessary for human existence because God said He was going to do that. But I'm talking about those who are in Christ Jesus and who rely upon God for God's blessings. Those are the ones who receive them. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why can we do this? Because we live in Christ Jesus. He lives in us. We live that way of life. We embrace it. We want it. We desire it. We keep our eyes on God. Remember, it goes back to one of the other things that we saw earlier. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And He certainly has. When we hear the priestly blessing or the Aaronic blessing, what are we to think about? And how are we to receive it? Is it just words? Well, please understand, the thing is, it could be. It could be just words. We don't want it to be just words. We want to receive what is meant by those words spoken and given by God. I want us to understand that the Aaronic blessing is a great example of how we can learn to bless. Of course, we also obviously should understand that it has major differences from some human blessings that make it so special and distinct. These are words of blessings from God, and so it makes it majorly different. And we should understand that, and not just academically, but actually believe that and know that and accept that and understand that. Here are a few things that I would like for us to get from that. We need to remember that God created it, this blessing. God created it. It was a special blessing God told Moses to tell Aaron to speak to the children of Israel. Not just the Jews, but to all of the children of Israel. God gave the exact words. When you go back and you see that, God said to Moses, "Moses, here are the words. I want you to get them, and I want you then to tell them to Aaron." And Aaron and his sons, as the priests, they then will tell the exact words to the people. The words are exact words from God. A second thing is, the blessing pronounces that God Himself will bless you. That God will bless you. And that God Himself will keep you. Please understand and please think about and grasp this. There is no higher authority, no everlasting greater power than the sovereign God. And He's the one that says and pronounces the blessing. Throughout history, God has demonstrated His power over and over and over. And God has demonstrated His great desire and His capacity to bless His people. Now, there are all kinds of examples. I'm not even going to go through those examples, but there are many of them. Many of them. Another point that I want us to think about here to see how great of an example it is that He is giving us how we can bless. Another thing is, God Himself will make His face shine upon you. This may sound silly to put it in this way, and it's sort of like, "Oh yeah, well that's a given," but I think it still needs to be stated in this context. For God's face to shine upon us, we need to be nearby so we can see His face. In other words, we need to be close to God. Outdoing our own thing does not make us close to God. It makes us in another direction, and we're not going to see the face of God. His face cannot shine upon us if we're not in His presence. As true followers of Jesus Christ, we will want, we will greatly desire to be in the presence of God. Another point is, God Himself will be gracious unto you. This is not just a human being doing this. You know, that's good. You know, your husband or your wife or your children or your parents, you know, and how we are gracious to one another, and we do these things out of acts of kindness and love, you know, and godly deeds, and we want to do these things. That's really good. This is not talking about this. This is talking about God Himself will be gracious unto you. When this omnipotent being extends grace, who can block it? Or who can stop it? Or who can circumvent it? When God blesses you, you are blessed. You are blessed. Also, God Himself will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. When God intervenes in our lives by His grace, we begin a series of experiences leading toward an external to an eternal peace that we enjoy alongside of God forever and ever. Now that should just hit us. In a lot of ways, this should just absolutely bowled us over with excitement, about knowing who this God is and what it is God is doing in our lives. We grow in awareness of who and what God is. Our experiences mingle with God's experiences. Paul tells us, it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Romans 2:4. Or despise you the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's the goodness of God that brings us to the place that we can see, I'm not doing this right. Please forgive me and help me to get on the right way, or put me on the right road. What we also need to understand is God does not terrorize us. God blesses us. I have another list that I want to give you at this time. Here are some what I believe to be very important things to keep in mind every time we hear the Aaronic blessing. Number one, it was created by God. No one talked God into doing it. God offered it freely. Number two, priests are to pronounce it upon God's people by commandment of God because God wants to bless His people. And God wants His people to know that God wants to bless them. God also wants His people to always remember the source of the blessing they enjoy. God is that source. Number three, the blessing is a commitment on God's part to see that the blessing happens. I can't make it happen. As a priest, and I know we don't use the term priest, but you understand, as a minister, I can offer these words. You know, as a servant of God, as a priest of God, to use the phrase, if you see what I'm saying. But it's God who does it. It is God who does it. It is a commitment on God's part to see that the blessing actually happens. God is telling His people He is involved in their lives and that He will do it. Romans 11 and verse 29 says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Do we deserve it? It's not a question of deserve. It's a gift of God because we are His people. Number four, God chooses whom He will bless. We remember that the blessing was to the children of Israel, but it was the children of Israel through Jacob. It was not through Esau, who was also a son. If you follow what I'm saying, there was Jacob and Esau were twins, they were brothers. And he blessed through one. God blessed through one, not through both. He did it through Jacob. The children of Israel are now a spiritual nation, and they are the children of Israel, are sons of Abraham by faith. We, the church, are now spiritual Israel. And we are part of that. As God chose ancient Israel, God has now chosen us. John 6:44. No one can come to me except the Father calls him. Now I'm paraphrasing, but that's what the intent is. We need to spend time and we need to think on being called as God's people. We need to think about that. We need to spend time on that. I'm not talking about here today, but we need to do that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Many of you are familiar with this, but let's read it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or a purchased people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is the church. This is speaking about the church. Number 5. God dotes on His people. He spoils us in a lot of ways. God dotes on His people. The people of God are the apple of His eye. Brethren, who could possibly steal us away from God's tender care? Who could steal us away from God? You know, from time to time we hear in the news that there are children, or even adults, but children, are stolen. You know, they're kidnapped away by somebody else. Well, you know, we can look at that and we can say, well, the parents are doing all they could and it still happens. Okay, who's going to kidnap us away from God? It can't be done. See, that's the point. It can't be done. God has called us to be His own. God claims us. He has placed His name upon us. He has named us with His own name. We are children of God. Number 6. God intends to have us live close by Him, always in His presence, always seeing the light of His face. Always trusting His loving kindness on our behalf. Always. Number 7. God has us covered. God has covered us. We need to meditate on these things and allow the goodness of God to always bring us to a repentance when we miss the mark or temporarily slip up or mess up. Romans chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He has afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom He has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. God decides who He's going to call. He has us covered. You see, God wants us to be living examples of His goodness. There are places, there are scriptures that tells us that. That philosophy, that thinking. God wants the riches of His glory to be seen by all the world. He gives them to those that He calls us, the church, and He wants the rest of the world to see it. Is it because of us? No, it's because of the greatness of God. It just demonstrates to the world how awesome this being is. Not us, God. So, as a result, think on God's goodness. Think on God's capacity to see completely every task absolutely 100% completed. And every single goal that He begins, that He has set for our lives, He completes it. He, God, never fails. And He never makes mistakes. Number 8. Think on the worth and value God has placed on us. What are we worth? Just me. Nothing. Except for the fact that God has placed value and worth on His children. Number 9. Think on how God has touched our lives and how God will continue to be with us. Think on how God has committed Himself to our bright eternal future. He altered His eternity future for us to be part of it. How awesome is that? Think on these things. In essence, God tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Number 10. Think on the peace that these promises can give us now and forever. And number 11. Think on how wonderful it is that God is making us in His image spiritually. You see, we're already in His image physically. But He's making us in His image spiritually. I have a question. As we come to the close of this, isn't it about time to become more like God? To become perfect like our Heavenly Father and to learn to bless others as He does? The answer is, yes, it is. But brethren, that is a topic for the future. God bless you all. Numbers chapter 6. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you.